incremental and yet important step to save the climate. That's right. My name is Raphael Mandelman. I am the District 8 Supervisor. I am also President of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. And this is an exciting day for us, and it's taken a while to get here. Thanks to all of you who have been part of this journey. 5 years ago, and a lot of you were part of that journey, and thank you, the City and County of San Francisco passed groundbreaking legislation to ban natural gas in new construction. That was an applause line, and you got it. Good. Then, as now, buildings accounted for more than 40% of San Francisco's greenhouse gas emissions. And that legislation was an important step toward full electrification of our building stock. But at the time, we knew and we said this could not be and would not be our last move in this direction. Banning natural gas in new construction was important, but still left undone the work of making existing buildings safer and more sustainable. Later today, the Land Use Committee of the Board of Supervisors, thank you, Chair Melgar, for your, where is she? Thank you, Chair Melgar, for your climate championship, your climate sheroship, we might say, and your leadership of the Land Use Committee and your co-sponsorship of the legislation. The Land Use Committee is going to be taking up this legislation to extend our all-electric ordinance to include major renovations of existing buildings. Switching from old gas systems to all-electric systems has many benefits, as you all know. These include improved indoor air quality and public health, especially for children, and reduced fire and earthquake risks associated with gas infrastructure. After a major quake, we'll be able to restore power to all-electric buildings much more quickly than we can to those powered by gas. This legislation will advance environmental justice, make our city safer, and push our climate goals forward. In order to qualify for this legislation, buildings are going to have to be undergoing both significant structural and mechanical upgrades. There are exceptions for commercial food facilities, appliances covered under the federal emergency of the Federal Energy Policy and Conservation Act, and we have included some special provisions for 100% affordable and office to housing conversion projects. By 2020, we knew, we saw, the need to reduce the use of fossil fuels for our buildings had become clear. September 9th, 2020, you may recall, was the day when wildfire smoke literally blocked the sun in San Francisco. And in the years since then, global temperatures have continued to rise, and with them, the frequency and severity of wildfires and extreme weather events has only increased. Furthermore, the public health evidence for the detrimental effects of natural gas in the home, especially, as I said, on children and vulnerable people, has only grown. Now, if you're like me, you are reading the news each day and getting a little depressed about some of the things the federal government is doing to abandon a lot of the progress that has been made at the national level over the last number of years, and worse than that, moving aggressively to limit state and local responses to the climate crisis. In times like this, there is a tendency to want to run away and hide, put your head under the covers, give up, and we're not going to do any of those things because I believe, and I think you agree, that the failures of our federal government make it all the more important that we can do whatever, that we do whatever we can at the state and local level to make progress where we can. To paraphrase a line from the Mishnah that I use a lot and seems really relevant right now, we do not have to finish the work, but neither are we free to turn away from it. So There are so many people who have played a role in working on this legislation. The Building Operations Task Force has been meeting for years and years, and thank you to all the folks from so many different backgrounds, from labor, from business, from the environmental advocacy community, who have wrestled and struggled and thought through how we can actually electrify our buildings. We have our land use chair, Myrna Melgar, along with supervisors Mahmoud and Fielder, who have signed on as co-sponsors already for this legislation. They deserve some applause. We have folks here speaking, Charles Whitfield from the Sierra Club. Sierra Club. Joni Eisen, who is herself a Shiro and a champion, but also is our representative from the Climate Emergency Coalition, who have been pushing relentlessly. We have Sam Fishman from Spur. Spur, thank you for your support. We have a number of youth commissioners here today, including District 8's own Harper Fortgang, but we thought it made sense to have the youth commission represented here, and we're going to be hearing from Jin Valencia To. Give it up for the youth commissioner and Commissioner Valencia To. And then we are also going to be hearing from our purple-haired today. Our director of the Department of the Environment, who does so much to provide leadership locally, to push all of us in City Hall to think about making the city more sustainable. To you and your team, Cindy Comerford, Charles Sheehan, Barry Hooper, Joseph Piasecki. I'm probably leaving folks out who Alice Herr. Thanks to you. Thanks to Calvin Ho in my office, who keeps the electrified trains running, and to all the folks who've provided feedback. Not everybody is happy, but to the folks in the development community, especially the affordable housing community, who have engaged with us, to all the industry groups, we thank you for your partnership and your engagement, and we have tried to be responsive, even if we have not been able to fully accommodate you. And with that, I'll get out of the way, and we can hear from some of our great speakers. And I will begin by inviting District 7 Supervisor, Chair of the Land Use Committee, and lead co-sponsor of this legislation, Myrna Melgar.
Thank you, President Mandelman. I'm going to be brief because I actually am really looking forward to hearing from Jin To, Mr. the Commissioner. I'm so proud of the Youth Commission and the work that they have done around everything, you know, to do with climate, transportation, housing, land use development. I'm just so proud of you guys because we are leaving you with a climate crisis. My generation is leaving you with a climate crisis. And this legislation is a small step towards what we need to do. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it. We need to do this. Economically, folks may have differences of opinion as to when you are doing a major renovation to address the fact that we're on the San Andreas Fault and we have to, you know, improve systems. If taking the natural gas out is really necessary, it is necessary. We must move towards a world where we are less dependent on fossil fuel while we're making it safer for the next generation. I think that we are headed in the right direction, not just in San Francisco. I was a member of the Bay Area Quality Management Agency when we passed legislation. That doesn't go as far as this, but it's, you know, same idea last year. It was controversial then. Change is difficult for people, especially when the change involves spending money to pay for the externalities that we've all enjoyed for free for so many years. but that's got to come to an end. And so I want to say thank you to President Mandelman for having the courage to do the right thing, to my colleagues who are already in support for doing that, and more than anything to our young folks, thank you for being along for this process, and I know that going forward you will make a better world. So thank you all.
Thank you, Chair Melgar. Now I would like to invite Charles Whitfield from the Sierra Club.
Thank you, Supervisor. If my remarks sound a little familiar, not to say repetitive, it's because Sierra Club is excited about some of the same things the supervisors are excited about with this ordinance. So I'm Charles Whitfield. I'm the Executive Committee Chair of the San Francisco Group of the Sierra Club. I'm happy to be here today to support Board President Mandelman's building electrification for building renovation ordinance. This ordinance requires most buildings undergoing major renovations to remain or convert to all electric energy. San Francisco is committed in the next 15 years to achieving net zero emissions. And as the supervisor said, today almost half of our emissions come from buildings. So this is a significant opportunity to address like a major source of our greenhouse gas emissions. Electrifying our mixed fuel buildings will get us closer to that net zero goal and also enhance our status as one of the lowest carbon places to live in the whole country. That worthy goal notwithstanding, electrification, even during major renovations, may come with additional upfront costs and lengthened project timelines. So this ordinance creates several exceptions or exemptions for certain uses, including physical and technical infeasibility, commercial food establishments, affordable housing, and a few others. To reduce the need for those exemptions, Sierra Club further encourages the city to streamline electrification associated processes and reduce city controlled costs wherever possible so that we can get as much electrification as possible. Sierra Club knows, just like Supervisor Mandelman, that electrification of buildings can help solve some of the nation's top challenges, including indoor and local air pollution, improving resilience during extreme weather events and earthquakes, and dramatically reducing greenhouse gas emissions. Efficient electric appliances like heat pumps, hot water heaters, and induction stoves require far less energy than fossil-fueled ones and produce zero emissions. Both for the health of San Francisco residents and for the sake of the climate, the Sierra Club is happy to support this important ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you, Charles. And now my my longtime friend and as I said,
top nagger,
Joni Eisen of the SF Climate Emergency Coalition.
Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Joni Eisen, founding member of SF Climate Emergency Coalition. So let's do this. So Supervisor Mandelman's all-electric new construction ordinance in 2020 was a great, though small, start in reducing greenhouse gas emissions from our buildings. And as it has been said several times, around 44% of our carbon emissions come from buildings. So the challenge to eliminate fossil fuels from existing buildings is much bigger. There's so many of them. Requiring all electric major renovations is a logical, critical step in decarbonizing the buildings we already have. It is certainly better for the climate to renovate an existing building rather than tear it down and build something new, even if that something is all electric. I just have to say that when I first came to San Francisco, the very first thing I fell in love with, I was a young hitchhiking hippie, and the very first thing I fell in love with was Victorian houses, and I still love them. Preserving buildings by renovating, I think, is key to retaining much of our city's iconic charm. So when a major renovation is happening, it makes absolutely no sense to install new gas-fired appliances. They will continue far into the future to produce sickening pollution, expose the public to the fire danger in earthquake country, and they're predicted to cost more there's predicted to cost more to run than the new, much more efficient heat pumps and induction stoves. All electric major renovations, as has been mentioned, improve public health. Gas-fired appliances do the opposite. They generate nitrogen oxides, fine particulates, carbon monoxide, and more. Improving local air quality is especially critical for communities of color. Recently, there was a study in SF in Oakland that showed communities of color are exposed to much more nitrogen dioxide, NO2, than mostly white neighborhoods. Inhalation of NO2 by children increases their risk of respiratory infection and poor lung function later in life. This legislation also complements what Supervisor Melgar mentioned, the Bay Area Air District's current zero nitrogen oxides rules, and they're scheduled to take effect in coming years. They will require replacement of old burnt out gas-fired heating equipment with zero NOx appliances. All electric major renovations can be cost effective. It's smarter to switch to new, more efficient electrical systems when a renovation or addition is already taking place. It's happening anyway, and new equipment has to be installed. Installing all electric is cheaper than installing both gas and electric at the same time. Another economic benefit would be that the legislation will encourage manufacturers to increase production of super efficient appliances, and then the workforce can be encouraged to increase the number and training of people who can install these things. The timeliness of this proposed legislation is stunning. It can only become a reality if it is fully implemented before October 1st. And that's when the recently passed, badly misguided statewide residential building code freeze goes into effect. We have to make this happen now so that full benefits can be felt as soon as possible for everyone. So this legislation is not a magic bullet. It's not the be-all and end-all in the fight to reach net zero emissions by 2040. But it is now up to cities and states to protect residents from the federal government's relentless, savage attacks on our environment, on our health and safety, on science itself. So let's do what we can. Thank you, supervisors and other policymakers, for your leadership in acknowledging the climate emergency exists and actually striving to do something about it with this ordinance. It's never been more important to act decisively for the climate. Please pass all electric major renovations. Thank you.
Thank you, Joni Eisen. Up next from Spur, Sam Fishman.
All right. Thank you, President Mandelman and Supervisor Melgar, for this wonderful piece of legislation. I am speaking representing the organization Spur. My name is Sam Fishman. Spur is a civic organization in the Bay Area. We've been around since a little bit after the 1906 earthquake. We work on issues like earthquake resilience and building decarbonization, but we also work at the intersection of housing and transit. We work on a lot of different things in the Bay Area, and we are big time in support of this bill. The Bay Area is at an inflection point. The policies we choose in the next few years will decide whether our cities succeed at removing climate warming, health harming emissions from our communities over the next quarter century. We will only succeed in taking that leap if we electrify our buildings. As has already been mentioned, almost half of the emissions, the carbon emissions in San Francisco, come from buildings. But we can only succeed in electrifying buildings if we make smart decisions that take advantage of cost-effective opportunities to remove gas systems from and gas and energy systems from our buildings. A major renovation is one of the smartest opportunities we have to electrify buildings. Targeting these large scope projects, similar to new construction in many ways, is a practical way to address legacy gas infrastructure and install electric equipment at a fortuitous juncture in a building's life cycle. As a city that prides itself on taking the health of its residents and its climate commitments seriously, I do urge San Francisco to seize this opportunity. Otherwise, we'll risk locking in brand new polluting equipment for decades. And that's decades of additional carbon emissions, additional health-harming emissions, additional asthma attacks, and premature deaths, and earthquake risks that we really cannot afford. And you'll hear people say that it can't be done, that it's too complicated or difficult, but the evidence is pointing in the opposite direction. Increasingly, it appears we're at an inflection point in the market for equipment like heat pumps and induction stoves, and that the electrification workforce's readiness to do this kind of work. The market is moving in a few ways. The Bay Area Air District recently passed rules that's going to be transitioning the region over time from gas heating equipment to all electric heat pumps and other zero emission equipment. And even before those rules were passed, the workforce is rapidly developing the know-how and skills to do this work. Manufacturers are rolling out new equipment that can tackle many of the technical challenges. Other regulatory agencies are racing to unplug bottlenecks and clearing the path for electrification. And San Francisco can do more on that front as well by loosening or working on permitting and other issues around to make sure that we can install this equipment. And technical experts are solving a lot of the key issues. In particular, at SPUR, we've worked on strategies to avoid panel and service upgrades, which can sometimes be a costly step. And there are a lot of promising strategies that have emerged that show that we can do that. But planned and well-timed electrification is still crucial. The bill makes sure that more buildings undergo cost-effective, planned electrification. It is well designed with exemptions that ease certain market segments towards this transition, and it is well timed to align with the Air District's zero emission heating rules. So again, I want to thank President Mandelman and Supervisor Melgar and San Francisco Environment for the work they've done to ensure San Francisco residents can access clean equipment and move away from health harming, climate warming gas equipment. Thank you.
Thank you, Sam Fishman, and thank you, SPUR, for your support for this legislation. Up next, our District 7 Youth Commissioner, Jin Valencia Toe. It's important for us to hear from our youth because they are going to have to be dealing with the consequences of our action or inaction for a lot longer than some of us who are a little older. And so I'm excited to hear from Commissioner Valencia Toe.
Hi, everyone. Good afternoon. My name is Jin Valencia Tao. I'm 18 years old, and I'm a San Francisco Youth Commissioner, and we have some youth commissioners here with us today. Yeah. Commissioner Fortgang has actually done a lot of work on environmental issues and climate change, so thank you so much to the Youth Commission for just all you've done. And also, we have some Youth Commission staff here, so shout out staff. Like President Mandelman said, I represent District 7. And just to start off, I think it's no surprise to everyone that, you know, my generation is growing up. And with that comes our inheritance of the many disastrous effects of climate change. But what's so great and really exciting about San Francisco is that we're actually trying to do something about it. And part of addressing the climate crisis here in our city means doing something about the fact that 40%, over 40% of our carbon emissions come from energy use in buildings, which is a lot. And to me, this legislation is exciting because it addresses that issue directly. We've already required that new construction be all electric, so adding major renovations to that criteria is simply reaffirming our commitment to reducing carbon emissions citywide and is one step closer to creating a zero emissions future for the next generation. Also, in case you didn't know, chemicals produced from gas appliances can have incredibly detrimental effects on the health of residents, especially among children. As was mentioned before, research has shown that the pollutants from gas appliances, such as nitrogen oxide, can lead to asthma in children, as well as heart diseases and respiratory issues. Gas appliances account for 31% of nitrogen oxide emissions in the Bay Area. And also from an economic standpoint, the health effects from gas appliances have forced low-income communities and communities of color to spend a disproportionate amount of income on healthcare. This legislation will help ensure that our solutions to the climate crisis are not just effective in reducing carbon emissions citywide, but also equitable in considering that moving towards zero emissions means prioritizing the health of communities that are disproportionately affected by gas appliance emissions. I'm excited that we're continuing to work towards our goals in the Climate Action Plan, and I'm confident that this legislation will ensure that young people can inherit a San Francisco that is healthier, cleaner, and more sustainable. Lastly, I just wanted to thank Board President Mandelman and Supervisors Melgar, Mahmoud, and Fielder for sponsoring this legislation, as well as the Department of Environment for their work and additional stakeholder and community input. Thank you so much.
Commissioner Valencia Tao, thank you. Your words have inspired us. And finally, to offer to bring us home, our fearless leader at the director as the director of the Department of the Environment, Tyrone Ju.
Now, I don't know about you, but after hearing Commissioner Valencia Tao speak, I'm fired up. Are you fired up? Now, I first want to start by thanking Board President Mandelman. The true hallmark of leadership is moving forward when things are difficult. And we've been part of a lot of conversations over the last few weeks, many difficult, many challenging. And to stand here today, still moving forward, is a testament to his leadership. It's also a testament to the leadership of Supervisor Melgar, Mahmoud, and Fielder for standing up for what's right. Today is more than just about passing policy. It's about staking a claim on the future we want to build. It's a future where we have a choice of whether we rebuild what's broken or whether we reimagine what's possible. Now, I don't know about you, I'm in the reimagining mode right now, because we have to be in the reimagining mode if we're going to realize the future that we all want to see. What this ordinance does is it draws a line, not in sand, but in steel, in wires, in walls, because each time we renovate a building, we're making a decision. Will we drag the past forward, or will we build a city ready for the future? This legislation says we choose the future. Now, some of you know that I grew up not too far from here, in Chinatown, in a small apartment with my grandma. Every night, a gas stove hummed in the background as she cooked for us, cared for us, gave us everything that she had. Like so many kids in the city, I didn't know I was breathing in someone else's idea of normal, someone else's idea of natural and natural gas. What I do know now is this. It was never fair for families like mine to have no choice but to breathe in those fumes. And that's why this ordinance matters. This is not about banning gas. It's about ending harm. Harm to people, harm to the planet. It's about designing homes that heal and ensuring that no child in San Francisco has to grow up learning to hold their breath just to feel safe. Let me be clear, we are not standing in the way of housing. We are clearing the path for climate-safe housing. We are not slowing progress. We are speeding up solutions that will last. We are not choosing between equity and urgency. We are designing for both. Because affordability that costs us the climate, our health, our planet, is a false bargain. And urgency cannot become an alibi for inaction, because this climate crisis does not wait politely for market forces. To everyone here, to everyone not here, to the developers, the builders, to the teachers, to the nurses, to climate tech creators, to renters, to homeowners, to anyone in this city who has asked, does this city work for me? Does this city care for me? This is your moment too. We are not just electrifying buildings. We are electrifying a movement. One ordinance, one retrofit, one breath at a time. And here's what I know. We don't build for the market. We build for the memory of this city, its resilience, its values, its promise to the people. Because in the end, we don't build for compliance. We build for breath. We build to ensure that people like Commissioner Valencia Tao and all the people represented on the Youth Commission have a future that they can feel secure in. That's what this is all about. This is about breath. This is about life. This is about the future we want to build in our city. Let today be the start of a new civic rhythm where we put climate justice into the building code and ensure that no one has to bear the burdens of past harms, and that we rise up by repairing what we inherited and refusing to repeat it. You know, San Francisco is at a crossroads right now. We have a choice in front of us between climate and complacency. Let the record show that when San Francisco was faced with this challenge, we turned the corner. We chose breath over bureaucracy. We chose care over convenience. We chose to build like the future matters, because it absolutely does. This is how we win breath. This is how we win the future. This is how we turn policy into a covenant for these young folks here and build this into a covenant for future generations of San Franciscans. So keep on showing up. Keep on speaking the truth. Keep building the future that no one can take away. And remember, policy is the instrument, but people will always be the power. Thank you.
That, friends, is our fiery director of the Department of the Environment. Thank you for your words. Thank you for your leadership. Thank you for the work that your department does each and every day here in San Francisco. That, folks, is your rally. A little on the logistics. Shortly, at 1:30, Chair Melgar will gavel down her land use committee. It's an exciting agenda, lots of stuff. If you're a land use nerd, come on in and hear all the things. But item four or five is this ordinance. And as Joni Eisen indicated, we are under a little bit of a time crunch. We know that the fossil fuel industry will do everything it can to shut down every electrification ordinance that it can. And we are eager not to give them more arguments to muster. And after October 1st, they get one more argument. So we'd like to get this legislation enacted and in effect long before October 1st, which is why we're trying to move quickly now. We are asking the committee to move this to the full board for action tomorrow. And we are asking the full board to vote yes tomorrow, and again when we come back in September at the first meeting of the Board of Supervisors then. We are hoping to be able to move all of this along. Your voices matter. Your voices with your supervisors matter. It is great that we have four co-sponsors. We need 6 votes. We'd love to make it unanimous. And although I'm grateful to my colleagues on the Board of Supervisors for their support, this really is about you and the folks of San Francisco and what they want their representatives to do. So we'll see that later today at Land Use and then tomorrow at the full board and again in September. Thank you for all of your support, your advocacy, your ferocity for the climate, and your determination that we save our planet and leave a livable world for the next generations. Thanks, everybody.